الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path and goodness until the Day of Judgment. Brothers in Islam, continuing with Sharh al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah li Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We had been dealing, we dealt actually last session with the attribute of Rahmah, right? The mercy of Allah. And for those who were taking notes, then they probably took notes of the various ayat that were quoted as an evidence. The last ayah we stopped at, which we did not discuss or elaborate on, is the one in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 156, where Allah Jalla Jalalu says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and my mercy encompasses all things. And we have to think about that for a moment. And the mercy of Allah encompasses all things. Every single thing that you see in this existence of ours, the universe and whatever is lesser than that, everything is getting the mercy of Allah in one form or another. And we dealt with the distinction between the mercy towards the believer versus the mercy towards the disbeliever, and how each is getting mercy according to their you know, what they deserve. Right. So let's say what the, let's see what the Shaykh says. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. يقول جل جلاله متمدحا مثنيا على نفسه ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء فأثنى على نفسه عز وجل بأن رحمته وسعت كل شيء من أهل السماء ومن أهل الأرض. Allah the exalted praises himself by saying, and my mercy encompasses all things. So he praised himself for that quality of mercy which encompasses everything that is in the heavens and everything that is upon the earth. So that does not leave anything discluded. وَنَقُولُ فِيهَا مَا قُلْنَا فِي الْآيَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ فَلْيُرْجَعْ إِلَيْهَا. In terms of explanation, then go back to the previous ayah. Remember, we dealt with the, we elaborated on that. Then the Shaykh said this is the same, so we're not going to be redundant and repeat the same information, so we can go back to that for those who were here last week. The fifth ayah, this was the fourth ayah. So far, let me just repeat for the brothers. The first ayah we used was Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All of these ayat were used as evidence for the mercy of Allah, the quality of mercy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was the first ayah. The second, Rabbana wasi'ata kulla shay'in, huh? Rahmatan wa ilma. This is the statement of the angels. Our Lord, you have encompassed everything in knowledge and in mercy, I'm sorry, and knowledge. The third ayah was the one, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, and he was to the believers merciful. This is specifically for the believers. The fourth one is وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. الآية الخامسة قوله كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Surah Al-An'am, verse 54. And your Lord has written mercy for himself. Your Lord has written mercy for himself. كَتَبَ. Now, the meaning that usually comes to mind for those who know the Arabic language, كَتَبَ from كِتَاب, يَكْتُب is writing. Okay? It's the for the act of writing something. If you يَكْتُب, yeah, you know, whoever is writing right now, we say هُوَ يَكْتُب, he's writing. But that is one of the meanings of the word. And that is not the only meaning. كَتَبَ in this context means he made obligatory upon himself. أَوْجَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, meaning Allah made obligatory upon himself mercy. Not that it was an act of writing, as it will, one of us will grab a pen and write with that. This is what is intended here by كَتَبَ. فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ لِكَرَمِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ وَجُودِهِ أَوْجَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted, due to his, wa alaykum salam, due to his generosity and his bounties and his kindness, he obliged himself to be merciful. He doesn't have to. If Allah willed, there would be no mercy, there will only be justice, right? Because we and Allah will not be oppressive, that's for sure, right? وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, and your Lord does not oppress anyone. So Allah will never oppress His creation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have been just without the quality of mercy. No one can say otherwise. We as the creation have no opinion, no objection, no authority anyways to have any opinion regarding this. It's a done deal. But Allah out of His mercy, He made mercy obligatory upon Himself. Subhanallah. This is from the mercy of Allah. وَجَعَلَ رَحْمَتَهُ سَابِقَ لِغَضَبِهِ, and Allah made His mercy precedes His anger, as it comes in the hadith. The mercy of Allah precedes Allah's anger. This is how it is all the time. Allah says in Surah Fatir, verse 45, وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, and if Allah were to punish the people for what they have earned, He would not leave a living creature on the surface of the earth. If Allah was to deal with people with justice only. Now look at, just look at today, the sins of the children of Adam. I mean, look around the universe, look around the earth, excuse me, all over the earth, including the Muslim countries and of course other than that. You will see how many people are obedient to Allah. Even including the Muslim countries, how many people are obedient to Allah, you can count them. Yeah, you can count them in a sense that not that they're 10, but in comparison, in ratio with the abundance of people upon earth, those who are obedient to Allah, those who are submitting to Allah, those who are true Muslims in a true sense, are not that many. And the majority of people are astray. Either astray to the extent that they don't even enter into Islam, or astray in Islam, whether in the belief system or their compliance with the teachings of Islam, their adherence to its teachings and things of this nature. So then if Allah was to treat the creation with justice only, nothing would remain. As Allah says, He will not leave on the surface of the earth a creature, a living creature. Everybody will be dealt with ala tul. But Allah's mercy precedes Allah's anger, so He gives him a chance. He gives him the chance. He calls him to repent. He sends the messengers, He sends down revelation, telling His creation to turn in repentance to Him, to change their ways, giving Him a long duration of life. Perhaps one will change his ways at some point and return to Allah. Now some people do that, and others do not. Then they will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment for their negligence, for their for them disregarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب لكن حلمه ورحمته ولكن حلمه ورحمته أوجبت أن يبقى الخلق إلى أجل مسمى. But Allah's mercy and kindness and love necessitated that the creation will remain alive until a fixed duration, until a fixed time, which is the Day of Judgment, or if a punishment was to befall upon a particular nation. ومن رحمته ما ذكره بقوله, and from the mercy of Allah is what He mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, verse 54. أنه من عمل منكم سوءا بجهالة ثم تاب من قريب ثم تاب من بعده, this is another ayah, عفوا, ثم تاب من بعده وأصلح فإنه غفور رحيم. So that if any one of you, any one of us, does evil in ignorance and thereafter repents and does righteous deeds, then surely Allah, He is all forgiving, most merciful. The Shaykh said, هذه من رحمته, this is from the mercy of Allah. That if you were to do evil because of ignorance, and then the Shaykh will elaborate on what is meant by out of ignorance. How do you do a sin out of ignorance? But then you were to change your ways, you were to repent, and you do righteous deeds, then Allah will be forgiving and merciful to you. سُوءًا نَكِرَ فِي سِيَاقِ الشَّرْطِ فَتَعَمُّ كُلَّ سُوءٍ حَتَّى الشِّرْكِ. Now, linguistically, مَنْ عَمِلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا. In the language, as in English for example, we have a distinction between that which has an article such as the and that which does not. Elephant, just an elephant. The elephant is a particular one. You're speaking about something particular. You're trying to make it distinct from the rest of the elephants. The elephant, people know, perhaps you're speaking to someone who knows which elephant you're speaking about. But when you say elephant, that's am. This is similar to the Arabic language, alaykum salam, where we have the word without alif lam, and then the word with alif lam. Ilm, al-ilm. You with me? Abd, servant, al-abd, the servant. So anything that has alif, lam, in the beginning of the word, that is equivalent, wa alaykum salam, that is equivalent to the in the English language. Is that clear? طيب. Here says, أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا. Whoever does evil deed, evil deed, or evil deeds. It did not specify the evil deeds, which ones. So that Allah made it general. So the Shaykh said that is an encompassing form of the language which includes every sin, even shirk. Even if someone was worshipping others with Allah, is included in that su' that Allah described here. بِجَهَالَ يعني بِسَفَهْ وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ بِهَا عَدَمِ الْعِلْمِ. In ignorance or due to ignorance, what is intended here meaning due to feeble-mindedness. And what is intended is not ignorant as in the opposite of knowledge. Because we know that every sin that you do is out of ignorance. If you did not know, it would not even be a sin. Pay attention. If you were to do something wrong in Islam, and you do not know that that thing is wrong because of ignorance, then Islamically you're not held accountable because you had no knowledge. You see what I'm saying? So then when we're speaking about sin out of ignorance, it is not that you don't have knowledge, it is that you have knowledge, but due to not being, you know, acting right or correct, you still committed that sin. That is considered ignorance in a sense, and in the ultimate sense, because an ignorant person is the one who does something without paying attention to the consequences. If somebody told you, you know, don't touch this toaster, it's hot. Okay? Now, if you were to touch it without knowing, no one would blame you, right? Because you were ignorant. But if someone informed you and you still touched it, then what is the problem with you? You're ignorant, not that you did not know, rather the fact that you knew and you still touched it. You see what I'm saying? That's ignorance, yeah. Because intelligence or knowledge indicates that when you know this is hot, you keep your hands off. So similarly, any sin that we commit is in this particular fashion. وَسَفَ عَدَمِ الْحِكْمَةِ. And feeble-mindedness is the opposite of wisdom. And wisdom is وَضُعُ الْأَشْيَاءِ فِي مَوْضِعِهَا الْمُنَاسِبْ لَهَا. Wisdom is placing things in its right, appropriate place. And we give the example of a puzzle, and there's a missing piece. Hikmah, wisdom, is that you put the piece where it belongs. You don't put it on the side, you don't put it under the table, you don't put it in your pocket, and you leave that vacancy. Rather, you fill it up. That's what wisdom means. So that means you say the right thing at the right time to the individual who is of this understanding. You don't speak to people the same. Someone who's been a Muslim for 30 years and been studying is not similar to someone who embraced Islam 2 weeks ago. You don't have the same kind of conversation with them because their understanding is not the same. So wisdom entails that you speak to each one accordingly. You treat the Muslim different than the non-Muslim. You treat the older different than the young. And you know, this is common sense. I'm sure I don't need to elaborate on that. طيب. لأن كل من عصى الله فقد عصاه بجهالة وسف وعدم حكمة. Anyone who disobeys Allah, he has done this out of ignorance, as we just mentioned in the way I explained it earlier. And out of ignorance and lack of wisdom. So that's any sin. ثُمَّ تَابَ مِن بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then he repents thereof, afterwards. He repents, وَأَصْلَحَ, يعني he does عَمَل صَالِح, he rectifies one himself, that means he does righteous deeds. فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ فَيَغْفِرُ ذَنْبَهُ وَيَرْحَمَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sin and he will show mercy to him. وَلَمْ يَخْتِمِ الْآيَةِ بِهَذَا إِلَّا سَيَنَالُ التَّائِبِ الْمَغْفِرَ وَالرَّحْمَةِ. Allah would have not concluded the ayah with these two qualities unless Allah was going to really forgive him and have mercy, show him mercy. Anyone of us who commits sins while knowing it's haram, but then he repents to Allah, even after many years have passed, even if the sins were as big as an ocean that fills it up all the way to the heavens, to the first sky, all of this sin for 60 years of your life, if you were to turn to Allah in repentance sincerely and you do righteous deeds, then as Allah promised, he will forgive the sins and he will show mercy to you. This is another indication how Allah's mercy precedes His anger. Because if Allah wanted to deal with justice, then the Shaykh will explain how it will not be in this particular fashion. طيب. وَهَذَا مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ الَّتِي كَتَبَهَا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. This is from the mercy of Allah that He had made, obliged Himself with, عز وجل. وَإِلَّا لَكَانَ مُقْتَدِ الْعَدِلِ أَنْ يُؤَخِذَهُ عَلَى ذَنْبِهِ وَيَزِيَهُ عَلَى عَمَلِهِ الصَّالِحِ. Otherwise, justice entails that you will pay the consequence for your sins and you will be rewarded separately for your good deeds. Right? It will just be like that kind of transaction. You know, for your good deeds, there's your reward. For your bad deeds, you will be brought to account. There's no means of them being forgiven. فَلَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا أَذْنَبَ خَمْسِينَ يَوْمًا ثُمَّ تَابَ وَأَصْلَحَ خَمْسِينَ يَوْمًا فَالْعَدْلُ أَن نُعَذِّبَهُ عَنْ خَمْسِينَ يَوْمًا وَنُجَزِيهِ بِثَوَابِ عَنْ خَمْسِينَ يَوْمًا. If a servant was to disobey Allah for 50 days, then he repents to Allah and he obeys Allah for 50 days. Justice entails that we will punish him for the first 50 days and we will reward him for the other 50 days. That's how it works. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. But in the case of Allah Azza wa Jal, He had decreed upon Himself, He had written upon Himself, رَحْمَةِ. تفضل. وعليكم السلام. فَكُلَّ الْخَمْسِينَ يَوْمَ الَّتِي ذَهَبَتْ مِنَ السُّوءِ تُمْحَى وَتَزُولُ بِسَاعَةِ. Actually, the 50 days that were spent in disobedience to Allah, all of that will be forgiven and erased in 1 hour. That's it. All of these 50 days of disobedience and sin, upon sincerely repenting, it is erased. That's from the mercy of Allah. Because we're not going, you know, one for one. So then the mercy of Allah exceeds His anger. وَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And add to that, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace their bad deeds with good deeds. Meaning the very sins that the person came, according to one interpretation of the Mufassirin, the very sins that one committed for 50 days will actually be converted to good deeds. So then he will, the following, he disobeys Allah for 50 days. Then he repents to Allah and he obeys Him for 50 days. Justice entails that he will be punished for these 50, rewarded for the other. But because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the situation is much different. First, all of the sins of the 50 days are automatically erased. Then the reward will be given for the 50 days and of course multiplied for whomever Allah wills. Furthermore, the sins of the 50 days, of these 50 days will be converted to good deeds. That's the best thing in the world. There's no promotion that is ever presented to us in this fashion. You go to any store when it comes to, you know, merchandise, they may give you an offer, buy two, get one free, you know. Something, yani, while they still make money, I mean, the price will be anyways 15 riyals, they'll jack it up to 30 riyals and sell you, discount is 25 now. So they're still making 10. Because the original cost was 15, you know, businesses how they do this, they cheat the people, nasallahu al-afiyah. But no promotion is ever in this fashion. You know, you go to a store and, you know, you steal something, okay, let's just make it more worldly. Walaikum salam. You go to a store, you steal something, and then you go to the boss or the owner of the store and you say, you know, I'm so sorry, I stole. And I shouldn't have done that. He says, ma fi mushkila, and here's some gift also, you know, on the way out. You know what I'm saying? Said, you know. You see what I'm saying? Nobody, I mean, come on now. People go to the store every day to steal. You know, he will tell his friend, hey, you know, by the way, you know, I robbed the store and then the guy did this to me. He said, oh yeah? What time they open? So you go to the same thing, right? You know, say, this is good stuff if I'm going to get this kind of treatment, but human beings will never do that to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing like unto Him. This is specific for the believers. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mercy, because without that we would be destroyed. Without that we may not even make it to this particular classroom. We may be destroyed on the way or at home because, you know, Allah knows about our condition. So alhamdulillah for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. السيئات الماضية تكون حسنات لأن من كل حسنة عنها توبة وكل توبة فيها أجر. So the Shaykh said the bad deeds, the past bad deeds will become good deeds, because every good deed is based on a tawbah or related to a tawbah, and every tawbah has reward. So even the very act of repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a rewarding act of worship. طيب فظهر بهذا أثر قوله تعالى كتب ربكم على نفسه الرحمة. So now we understand what is indicated by the statement of Allah, your Lord has written mercy for himself. Now we know what that really means due to the elaboration and the practicality that we got right now, alhamdulillah. وفي الآية من صفات الله, what attributes of Allah do we get from this ayah, yeah, brothers? Your Lord has written mercy for himself. What are the attributes that we learn from this ayah?
Mercy.
You have to be more specific. Look at every word. Your Lord has written mercy for himself.
Lordship.
Ahsant. Rububiyyah. Your Lord. So this is a quality. This is from the attributes of Allah. So Lordship, mercy, Jamil. Last one. Aywa. Obliging. Ijab, which is known as ijab. طبعاً, when we say obliging, يعني don't think about it as one will oblige his son to do something, or where Allah obliges himself. Not in this sense. This is يعني from the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't understand it in human context. You know, as one obliges himself to do something, this is all from Allah, and He knows best, you know, about the reality of these things. But Allah made it obligatory upon Himself out of mercy. Otherwise, no one can oblige Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do anything. So this is all from Allah's mercy to us. طيب. Allah Azza wa Jal, na'am. Al-Ayah Sadisa, Ayah number 6. قوله وهو الغفور الرحيم. And you hear this often in the Quran. But this one is from Surah Yunus, verse 107. Allah Azza wa Jal هو الغفور الرحيم. جمع عز وجل بين هذين الاسمين لأن بالمغفرة سقوط عقوبة الذنوب وبالرحمة حصول المطلوب. Allah Azza wa Jal is the all-forgiven, the most merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had combined both of these names, Al-Ghafoor and Rahim. Because مغفرة entails not being held accountable for the punishment. Not being held accountable for the punishment that you were supposed to retrieve due to the sin. And rahmah is attaining that which is desired. Attaining that which is desired. وَالْإِنسَانُ مُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَى هَذَا وَهَذَا. And a human being is in dire need for both. Not to be held accountable for the sin in terms of punishment, and to attain that which he desires, like Jannah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being able to live a good Islamic life. مَغْفِرَةٌ مُفْتَكْرٌ إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٌ يَنْجُ بِهَا مِنْ أَثَامِهِ. He is in dire need of mercy, the forgiveness, where he will be forgiven and he will be not held accountable for his evil doing. وَمُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَى رَحْمَةٍ يَسْعَدُ بِهَا بِحُصُولِ مَطْلُوبِهِ. And he is in dire need of a mercy which brings about happiness and that will by getting what he is looking forward to. فالغفور صيغة مبالغة مأخوذة من الغفر. غفور is derived from غفر. And here the context is it indicates abundance. Remember we learned in the previous ayat, التواب, right? إن الله يحب التوابين. Though tawab, we said, it indicates abundance, repeated action, meaning not someone who repents once. Tawab meaning someone who's often repenting. That is known in the language as the form of abundance, meaning something is being indicated more than once. In this case, Ghafoor is the one who often forgives. That's why I say the oft forgiven, meaning often forgiving, always forgiving, repeatedly, on and on and on, never ending. Forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes from الغفر أو وهو الستر من مع الوقاية لأنه مأخوذ من المغفر. مأخوذ من المغفر. الغفر means veiling with protection. Veiling with the intent to protect, just like sunscreen. It's a veil that you place on your body to protect you from sunburn. Is that clear? Why that word? Where does it come from? It comes from the word مغفر. And مغفر is a form of helmet that the soldier wears in the battlefield that protects him from the arrows. Back then they were not really having any guns, right? It was an arrow and that protected your head. And in this day and time, it is also worn by those, for example, who are working in the construction business. You know, those who build, they also wear a helmet. What is the intent though? To protect you, it's a veil, protection from their potential harm. That is where the word ghafr, or maghfira, or ghafur, all of these are derived from the word maghfar, which is the helmet that is worn by the soldier to protect him from the arrows. والمغفر شيء يوضع على الرأس في القتال يقي من السيام وهذا المغفر تحصل به فائدتان. This مغفر, we get two benefits from that. ستر الرأس والوقاية, covering the head, veiling the head, and protection. Two things you get from the مغفر, from the helmet, covering one's head and protecting one's head. فالغفور الذي يستر ذنوب عباده, then غفور is the one who conceals the sins of his servants. وَيَقِيهِمْ أَثَامُهَا أَوْ أَثَامَهَا, and then he protects them from the consequences of their deeds. بِالْعَفْوِ عَنْهَا, by pardoning them. So you see the connection. Helmet, protection, veil, and then protection. Where you're not held, you will be protected from the consequences of getting an arrow on your head. Similarly, غَفُور, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal your sins the same way the helmet conceals your head. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from the consequence of the sins the same way the helmet protects you from the arrow, by pardoning you. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى هَذَا مَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ, what indicates that furthermore is that which has been established in the Sahih. Whenever the scholars say al-Sahih, meaning they're referring to Sahih al-Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, but usually the one that is considered more authentic is Sahih al-Bukhari. So that is the ultimate Sahih in a sense. Otherwise, many of the ulama who collected narrations call their books also Sahih. But the Bukhari Muslim stood out. The hadith says, أن الله عز وجل يخلو يوم القيامة بعبده ويقرره بذنوبه يقول عملت كذا وعملت كذا حتى يقر فيقول الله عز وجل له قد سترتها عليك في الدنيا وأنا أغفرها لك اليوم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah سبحانه وتعالى on the day of judgment will bring his servant near and he will seclude him from the rest of the creation, not expose him as it is the case with the disbelievers. They will be exposed in front of everyone and everybody would know that these are those who lied against Allah. So la'natullahi ala al-kathibin, may the curse of Allah be upon them, they'll be dragged to Jahannam, as we know from the Quran and the Sunnah. Whereas for the believer, he will be concealed, he will be secluded from the rest of the creation in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to expose him, because that's if anybody wants to get embarrassed, then the worst kind of embarrassment is the one on the day of judgment, where the whole creation from the time of Adam until the day of judgment wind up knowing the truth about one of us. You know, in this dunya we may, you know, play games. On that day of judgment everything will be clarified. But alhamdulillah, in the case of the believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seclude him from the rest. And then Allah will make him acknowledge his sins. Allah will tell him, you did such and such. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single sin we committed. He will remind him, you did such and such sin on such and such day. And the servant will acknowledge that, say, yes I did, yes I did, until in the narration it mentions until he believes he is destroyed. The servant believes after Allah it reminds him of all these sins that maybe he forgot about, right? Because we forget about our sins. Then he will think, khalas, Jahannam, what is awaiting is Jahannam. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, I had concealed them for you in the dunya where nobody knew about them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, and the angels that were writing the deeds. But the creation, nobody knew about them. They remain secret. And I shall forgive you today for them. Alhamdulillah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you, I concealed them in the dunya, I didn't expose you, and today I will forgive them. So according to the scholars and the tafsir of the hadith, the very sins will be wiped out from his bad deeds. And so he will go out and he has the book of good deeds and everything is good. فَيَقُولُ هَاهُمْ اُقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَا, here, come, read my book on the day of judgment. Because the sins will be wiped out. They will be taken out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will had concealed them in the dunya and will forgive him for them on the day of judgment. For who though? For the Christian? For the Jew? For the Hindu? No. For the believer. anyone who believed in the oneness of Allah and followed the messenger during that time. That includes our brothers in Islam from the children of Adam, the followers of Noah, the followers of Abraham, the followers of Moses, the followers of Jesus before they, you know, changed his religion. His true disciples who believed in the oneness of Allah and in the prophethood of the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, these are brothers in faith. These are our brothers in faith. And these will have this kind of treatment on the Day of Judgment. So Islam and a believer are not restricted to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who came after him. That includes all of the believers who followed their prophets and messengers. Just in case people had a misunderstanding. And it discludes everyone who disbelieved in all of the messengers. Whether those who disbelieved in the Prophet Muhammad in our day, or those who disbelieved in Moses or Jesus and so forth. So this is the creation divided into believers in Allah and His messengers versus disbelievers in Allah and His messengers. And so anyone who believed, then he is entitled to all these virtues bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. This is regarding Al-Ghafoor and Maghfira. Amma Al-Rahim, the most merciful, فَهُوَ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ الشَّامِلَةِ وَسَبَقَ الْكَلَامُ فِي ذَلِكَ. Then it is the encompassing mercy of Allah, and we've already elaborated on that many times, right? In all of these six ayat that were quoted earlier. طيب. What ayat, what names of Allah do we have in this ayah? Ghafoor and Rahim. MashaAllah. And attributes? Maghfira Ar-Rahma. One name entails one attribute. That's not always the case, right? Yeah, we said that the attributes is more vast than the names. For example, Allah says, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. That is an attribute of Allah. There's none co-equal to Him. But is that a name of Allah? No. It is not one of the names of Allah. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Another attribute. No sleep or slumberness overtakes Him. Na'am. But do we say, وَعَيْكُمْ سَلَامٌ, do we say that this is a name of Allah? No. It is an attribute, but it is not a name. طيب. The seventh ayah. And this is very interesting. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Surah Yusuf, verse 64. But Allah is the best to guard, and He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Why? Who knows the context of this ayah? He'll be a hero. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Who said that?
Ya'qub alayhi
salam. Ya'qub alayhi salatu salam. What's his name in English?
Jacob.
Jacob. Who's his son? Joseph. And who else? 12, yes. Benjamin also. Benjamin. And everybody knows the story of Surah Yusuf. And Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. طيب. So who said that? يعقوب. قالها يعقوب حين أرسل مع أبنائه أخا يوسف الشقيق, لأن يوسف عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لا كيل لكم إذا رجعتم إلا إذا أتيتم بأخيكم. This was a statement that was said by يعقوب عليه الصلاة والسلام when he sent بنيامين with the brothers to Yusuf. Yusuf, who had become already a big shot after he was prisoned for something he never committed. And of course the scholars say, if you want to look at the typical life of a da'iyah, one who propagates Islam, then look at the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, and expect to get something very much similar. His condition is what a da'iyah usually goes through in his life. And this happened to many of the scholars of Islam, like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, the author of this book. He was prisoned. He died in prison in Damascus. He died in prison. Did he rob a bank? Did he kill anyone? No. He gave a fatwa. He gave a fatwa regarding grave worshipping and people who were seeking blessings from the dead. And that opposed the opinion of the Sufis during his time, who had a close connection with the government and those in charge. So they imprisoned him for a fatwa that he gave. Now of course he said his famous statement when they sent him to prison. He said, مَا يَفْعَلُوا أَعْدَائِ بِي. He said, what will my enemies do to me? My Jannah is in my chest. My Jannah is in my chest. Putting me in prison, in seclusion, is seclusion with Allah. No one to bother me. No one to do girgir kathir. Huh? No one to talk and a lot of laghu, a lot of idle talk. He's in seclusion, remembering Allah, reading the Quran, pondering upon the Quran. He authored many books, wrote many letters, and benefited the ummah abundantly from the prison. This is when they put him in seclusion. There were other times where he was prisoned more than once, where he went to prison and he found the people doing what? Playing cards. You know the people in prison, got nothing to do. They abandoned the salah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he admonished them and he reminded them of the Quran and the Sunnah, and he turned the prison into a school. So much so that when the time for some of the prisoners was up, khalas, he's done his years, and they told him to leave, they didn't want to leave. He said, khalas, you're free. He said, man, I'm not going to leave here, this is knowledge. So he turned the prison into a school, and he was educating the people and many students of knowledge. You know who the students of Ibn Taymiyyah are? You know that Ibn Kathir is one of his students? People don't know this. Ibn Kathir, the famous Mufassir, is a student of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah. Imam al-Dhahabi, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah. And many others from the prominent scholars that we know about are the students of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is a big Shaykh, and he was imprisoned. Yusuf alayhi salam, he was imprisoned. So the da'iyah will get some suffering in his life, you see, but he gets the good end, result at the end, inshallah ta'ala. So anyways, so Yusuf told his brothers when they came to him, I will not give you another load, because they were bringing an animal in order to get a load, because you know it was the years of the dream of the Malik, who there would be 7 years of drought, and you know the story. The bottom line, Yusuf had such a good economy, and he was business minded, he had the interpretation, he managed these years. So everybody was suffering from famine except Yusuf in Egypt. So the people will come long distances to get food and take it back to their respective people. That's how they brought the animals with them, and he would give them a load. Kail Ba'ir. So anyways, he told them, bring a brother and then I will give you an extra load. They went back to their father Yaqub and told them, bring, you know, Benjamin with us. And he told them, you know, how am I going to trust you? When you took Yusuf before, and supposedly they said that the wolf ate him, but of course they threw him in the well, and you know the story. Anyways, it was during that time where he said, قال هل أمنكم عليه هل أمنكم عليه كما أمنتكم على أخيه من قبل فالله خير حافظا وهو أرحم الراحمين. He said, can I entrust him to you except as I entrusted his brother Yusuf before? But then he said a statement, verily Allah is the best to guard, and he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. يعني لن تحفظوه ولكن الله هو الذي يحفظه. You will not be able to guard him or protect him. It is Allah who will protect him and guard him, Binyamin. And Allah did. He protected Binyamin, and then he went to Yusuf. Then Yusuf, you know, told him that this is my brother, and the whole thing was said and done. And then his father Yaqub and the whole family were brought to Egypt, where they prostrated for him. This was acceptable during their time, not acceptable in Islam. And this was the interpretation of his dream in the beginning of the surah, when he saw the sun and the moon and the 12 planets prostrating to him. So this is the context of the story. طيب خير حافظا حافظا قال العلماء إنها تمييز كقول العرب لله دره فارسا. طب this is grammar, and I cannot explain it adequately. الشاهد في الآية من الآية هنا قوله, the point of emphasis in the ayah for us is وهو أرحم الراحمين. وهو أرحم الراحمين. And he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. حيث أثبت الله عز وجل الرحمة بل بيّن أنه أرحم الراحمين. Allah affirmed the quality of mercy. Nay, but he said that he is the most merciful of all those who show mercy. لو جمعت رحمة الخلق كلهم بل رحمات الخلق كلهم لكانت رحمة الله أشد وأعظم. If you were to bring about and compile all of the mercy of the creation, all of the creation and all of the mercy of the mother to the child and everything of this nature, then verily the mercy of Allah is more abundant and greater. أرحم ما يكون من الخلق بالخلق رحمة الأم ولدها. From what we know, practically, who is the most merciful? The mother to the child. Usually, the one who shows a father is not as merciful to the son or his daughter as the mother would. You know, we know that from experience. You know, you get sick and tired of after a few complaints from your child. You know, you just say, hey, you know, don't talk to me anymore. Whereas the mother, you know, she may bear this for a few more hours than you would, and then she would still be more merciful to the child. I mean, a mother goes through all the labor, you know, that's just a hassle. And then, you know, delivery, which we men probably cannot even handle. Alhamdulillah, we don't have to worry about that. But then that is the difficulty. Then raising the child, and, you know, every time the child wakes up, you know, you have to wake up with them. They don't want to eat. You have to feed them. They do it on themselves. You have to change them. It's a big deal. But that's mercy. But otherwise, if a mother doesn't have mercy, she will say, khalli walli. Allah put the child in a basket and throw him, you know, dangle him down to the first floor, let somebody walking by pick him up. And she wouldn't worry about the child because it's a headache. But the mercy of Allah indicates that the woman have such mercy to the child, to her child. That's the greatest form of mercy that we know. فَإِنَّ رَحْمَةَ الْأُمَّ وَلَدِهَا لَا يُسَوِيَ شَيْءٍ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ النَّاسِ أَبَدًا. The mercy of the mother towards the child is not equated with any mercy that the creation may have to one another. حتى الأب لا يرحم أولاده مثل أمهم في الغالب. As you mentioned, the father does not even show mercy to his children as the mother would, predominantly. جاءت امرأة من في السبي تطلب ولدها وتبحث عنه. During the time of Prophet ﷺ, one of the women who were she was a war prisoner. She came looking for her son and searching for him. فلما رأته أخذته بشفقة وضمته إلى صدرها أمام الناس. So she was searching for a child and she finally found him. So she grabbed him and she held him to her chest in front of the people and in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أترون أن هذه المرأة طارحة ولدها في النار. Do you conceive that this woman will toss her child in the hellfire? Do you think that this woman has the ability to throw her child in the hellfire? Would she do that in the fire after you've seen her reaction? قالوا لا والله يا رسول الله. No, by Allah. They swore by Allah. No, Messenger of Allah. قال الله أرحم بعباده من هذه بولدها. Allah is more merciful to His creation than this woman is to her child. Meaning, you will only enter Jahannam when you strive, when you really don't care, when the mercy of Allah is presented to you and you say, I'm in no need of that, I don't need the mercy of Allah. So when we don't strive, we don't exert ourselves to be among the believers who will attain the mercy of Allah, then and only then you'll be thrown into the hellfire. Otherwise, we have many indications that if you strive, then bi-idhnillah you will be saved. But that must come first. The problem is that we want the mercy of Allah without the striving. And a disbeliever doesn't even strive at all. He doesn't even bother to know what the objective of life is. Doesn't even bother to search for the true religion. And when it is presented to him, doesn't even bother to study to see whether this is what is supposed to be followed or not. In the case of the Muslim, then again, you know, we always prioritize, and the last thing on our list is trying to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except illa man rahim Allah, except those whom Allah shows mercy to. So these individuals, they're being given mercy, but they don't want it. You see, it's not that Allah is not merciful to them. Some of the Muslims, some of us, we don't want mercy. We may want it as a wish, but not implementation-wise. Because you can wish for anything. Wish is nothing. Prophet ﷺ spoke about the one who is the one who is not intelligent, is the one who follows his desires and he wishes that Allah will have mercy on him. He wishes for Allah's forgiveness. But the intelligent one is the one who strives for the hereafter. And he holds himself accountable for his disobedience and his sins. So we must really have the correct understanding of this reality. جل جلاله وعز ملكه وسلطانه. So exalted is Allah and full of might is His sovereignty and His authority. كل الراحمين إذا جمعت رحماتهم كلهم فليست بشيء عند رحمة الله. All of those who show mercy, if all of their mercy were to be brought together and accumulated in one entity, then verily the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala precedes and overpowers all of them. The mercy of Allah is beyond all that. ويدلك على هذا أن الله عز وجل خلق 100 رحمة وضع منها رحمة واحدة يتراحم بها الخلائق في الدنيا. What further indicates that is the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم where it says that Allah سبحانه وتعالى He created 100 mercies and He only gave one. He placed one among the creation that they used to show mercy to one another. And the other 99 Allah has saved for the believers on the Day of Judgment. One out of 100 is the one that we're utilizing today. Any form of mercy that you show is from that one part. And the other 99, Allah has saved for the believers on the Day of Judgment. So we will see from the mercy of Allah what you have never imagined. But we will see in the next ayah who are those who are qualified. See, we have to have a right understanding of the deen. Islam is not just one ayah. Say, oh, khalas, Allah is going to show mercy to me. I can take it easy, right? Because if only one right now, 99, oh, mashallah, no, ma fi mushkila. But no, we will see from other ayat that Allah made the mercy exclusive to a group of people. If me and you are not qualified, then forget about all that. You see? So we have to strive that this is actually the next ayah. Is it the next ayah or the one after? Yes, it is later, inshallah. We will deal with that. Tayyib. Time is left. طيب كل الخلائق تتراحم والبهائم والعقلاء ولهذا تجد البعير الجموح الرموح ترفع رجلها عن ولدها مخافة أن تصيبه عندما يرضع حتى يرضع بسهولة ويسر. All of the creation of Allah show mercy to one another, even the beasts and the animals. That's why you'll find a camel, you know, that is rough and tough and, you know, not easy going. It will a she camel, that is, she will raise her leg when her baby is trying to breastfeed in order not to harm the baby. You know, even a camel that is an animal has mercy enough, and you even from the cats, you know, you see any animal how they show mercy to the baby animals. وكذلك تجد السباع الشرسة تجدها تحن على ولدها وإذا جاء أحد في جحرها مع أولادها. Even the, يعني the wild animals, the wild beasts, the tigers and the lions and things of this nature, you will also find them showing compassion and mercy to their babies, to the babies, the young babies. ترمي نفسها عليه فتدافع عنهم حتى تردوا عن أولادها. If some other predator was to come and try to attack her infants, that animal will put its life in danger to protect its children. يعني the animal will expose himself or herself or itself for death. And you've seen this from the lions, you know, who come in to eat other little tigers, and then, you know, the tiger, the mother usually, will get up for the occasion. And she will fight a big lion in order for her children to be protected. This is something, all this from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى ثُبُوتِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْكِتَابُ وَالسُنَّةُ وَالْإِجْمَاعُ وَالْعَقْلِ. The mercy of Allah has been confirmed through the kitab, the book, which means the Quran. That's what we mean by the book, not any book. A sunnah is three things: the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his acknowledgments or approvals. Yani where something happens in his presence and he does not criticize it, that is a form of sunnah. Someone will say something in his presence and he does not say anything to correct that, that means it's a sunnah that came through the means of acknowledgement. The other one is a statement: do this, don't do that. The third one is fi'l, action. The Prophet ﷺ made wudu in this particular fashion. He may not have said how to make wudu, but he did it. That's a sunnah. Or he may have said it. That's a sunnah. Or someone made wudu in his presence, just to give you an example, and he did not say this is wrong. Whatever we learn from that way of the wudu is from the sunnah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledged it. He approved it in his presence, because part of his job, alayhi salatu wasalam, was to correct the people and to guide them to the path. So anyone who would make an error, he would point it out. He would not leave it alone, alayhi salatu wasalam. As for the elaboration on these, the Shaykh will actually elaborate how we can prove from the kitab. Oh, afwan, kitab al-sunnah. Thirdly, al-ijma'. What does ijma' mean? Consensus. Consensus is يعني the mutual agreement where all of the Sahaba and those who were يعني respectable among the people of knowledge, when all of them agree to something, we say there's ijma', consensus from the ulama, from the sahaba, that the case is as such. And lastly, al-aql, which is intellect. So you can prove the mercy of Allah through these four. You may say, do we really need to do that? Yes. Many among the Muslims today deny the mercy of Allah. They say, you could say Allah is Rahim as a name. But they say to say Allah is Rahim as an attribute? No. Because that is weakness. Listen to their how they use their mind to reject the Quran and the Sunnah. They say mercy is weakness. And Allah is full of might. Allah cannot be weak, so you cannot say that Allah is Rahim. As a name, they say we approve of that because the Quran said it. But as a quality, then we will not approve it to Allah. Because that entails weakness and Allah can never be weak. So they wind up rejecting the mercy of Allah as a quality. That's why it is necessary that we know how to prove it from these four in these four matters. So when someone comes with this nonsense, you're able to explain to him, Ya akhi, this doesn't make any sense. Not intellectually, not according to the Sahaba, not according to the Sunnah or the Quran. All of them oppose your understanding that Allah only has the name of mercy and not the quality of mercy. So inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive till next week, then we will deal with how to prove from the Kitab and the Sunnah and Ijma' and Aql that Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful. And then we will see how we can practically benefit from mercy. How do me and you benefit from having knowledge of the quality of mercy of Allah? Then we will move on to the quality of Rida, Allah's pleasure. Allah being pleased with one believer and how to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll leave that to next week. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.